I got a green light. I did not know that if you didn't turn your microphone on or off that you would be heard in your conversation. So Joe tracked me down and he said, your mic's on. So even though I had a red dot, I said, well, it shows red. Everybody was hearing me, and so that voice you heard that you thought was from God, it wasn't. Several of you have noticed that, a little bit of change in the format of how we're doing the prayer sheet and everything on our list. On the back of the questions that we have for each week is our new prayer list. And reality is that we're just trying to clean it up a little bit so that if we know someone that has a special prayer need, I'd like to be able to address it, who it is that needs that prayer request or made that prayer request, and also what that prayer need's all about. That way we don't duplicate all of our efforts and we try to keep everything in order as we go through. Once again, not trying to say that everyone isn't important about our prayer, but we need to make sure that we do honor or that we do everything possible to report back to the church how someone is doing. For instance, that the Albright family is on our prayer sheet. We do want to pray for them, especially as Jill Albright passed away last week, and we just want to ask that the Lord will be with them as well. So again, if you have any questions about the change of what we're trying to do as a congregation, please let me know. If I took someone off the prayer sheet that needs to be added back on, I hope that you'll understand that as well. All right, let's take our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read the entire chapter this morning, Genesis chapter 3. I'm sure it's a chapter that every one of us at some time or another have read, but let me just tell you the little bit of a principle that occurred behind this. Just recently, I have been concerned about, opportunities that seem too good to be true. I don't know how many of you have ever had this, but somebody might write you and say, you have just been awarded $600 if you will just respond to this. And once again, it's a scam that occurs. Or congratulations, you just won one of our lotteries. Well, as of recent, most of you all know that I do write books, and I had someone that reached out to me, and they said that Netflix is interested in your book. And something like that seems pretty amazing to me. So I reached out to him. I said, I understand that, you're asking me to call you because you said Netflix is interested in my book. Well, as I was getting ready to negotiate with him, something occurred to me that I need to ask them, can you supply me information of people that you have benefited with this process? Well, they had a guy that called me, and it turned around that this guy, as he spoke to me, has not been successful with Netflix, but he has already given them money so that in hopes of being attained by Netflix. And I said, something's not right. Something's not right here. You want me to give you more money so that you represent me? And it was a pretty good size sum of money. I said, I don't understand why you're doing this. I said, give me someone that you've really helped all along the way. They can't do it. And it made me think about how much people want your hard-earned money, to make sure that you can supply their particular scam. It could be an elderly person. They've been told that your roof is in bad shape. We can fix it for you. Or anything of that nature. Well, as I thought about that, it brought me to this area right here in Genesis chapter 3 of the first scam. And it's the greatest scam of all. And when you think about this, it was one to where Satan leads off by speaking to the woman in the garden, giving her a report that is absolutely false, but giving her the hope of something better. Let's look at this. So it's in Genesis 3. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent saith unto the woman, you shall not surely die. again, just a blatant out-and-out lie. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman which thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for your word, and I pray that you will bless the things that were read before the congregation today. Lord, when I think about this term scam, and I know that there are so many people that are out there in this world that want to take advantage of your people, we come forth trusting, we come forth being wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and yet over and over and over again, we find that there are challenges that are being brought to us. We ask, Lord, that you will forgive us. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to walk faithfully before you. We ask, Lord, that we would not be deceivers, but, Lord, that we would be honest in all of our doings and all of our dwellings. So guide us, I pray thee, therefore, Lord, and I pray that you will lead us and bless and help us to walk ever in faithfulness before you. For it's in Christ we pray, and amen. As we begin our message this morning, I want to think about this just for a moment. We have a blessed God in that he chose righteousness over evil for this planet. Our God in himself cannot lie. Our God cannot commit sin. Our God cannot change. Our God is immutable, no matter how you look at this. And it is because he is holy and he is righteous, he established the ground rules for everything to be done. And so when we look upon the things that are written in Scripture, a lot of times we, in our wicked little minds, want to blame God for anything that goes on. I made reference this morning in the morning message to something I heard from J. Vernon McGee. And one of the characters that he spoke of in his message this morning was that the ugliness that many people want to bring forth, it goes even this far. You can blame God for anything wrong in your life. And you can ask God that he would forgive himself for things that happened to you. And when I think about this, I'm going, how far away from our humanity can we fall to where we think that we can blame God, and because we blame God, suddenly that makes us right? And we live in a society today where it seems like everybody and their grandmother, if you will, wants to blame God for a condition that they're in, for some situation. We like to blame God. And here's the thing we got to be careful of. We do believe in the sovereign grace of God, but it does not give us a right to blame God for our own misgivings. Did you notice in this passage already how that Adam wanted to blame God for the woman that you gave me? Even in the very beginning, Adam wanted to turn around and say, it's not my fault, it's the woman. You gave me this woman, it must be your fault, Lord. But let's go back in and let's see just how much that we have fallen away and that we're so susceptible to being scammed. Now, right off the bat, we are introduced in this Genesis chapter 3 to three characters. We have the serpent, we have the woman, and we have the man in that order. And when we take a look at the serpent, the first thing that we see is that this serpent, number one, he can talk, but he also comes into the woman and he begins to make the woman think back a little bit what goes on. Now, understand this. Everything that I see in Scripture was that God gave the message to man. Genesis 2, if we go back over to 2:17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the order that things were done, this commandment was given to Adam, long before Eve was created, if we find it as a chronological order. So even though Adam and Eve knew of this commandment, it was first given to man, and man had the responsibility to give it over to the woman. Isn't it interesting that Adam wasn't there to protect Eve? Now, does that mean Adam was away from her? I don't think so. I think Adam was actually present during this entire bit that was going on. I'm not certain. But the one thing we do know this is that the serpent goes in, and he is a great deceiver. Let's go back over, if you will, to John chapter 8. And notice that, once again, the Lord is confronting people that have come to him. And quite literally, when you take a look at it, these people have seen some great things at the hand of the Lord our God. And they're already confronting him, asking him, hey, give us more to eat. You know, let's make sure that we're ready to go. And when we finally go down to verse 44, we find one thing of the course that the Lord says to them. He says to them, ye are of your father the devil. That's pretty vile, if you will, in itself or in our imagination. But Jesus is being as honest to these people as possible. You're not following after God. You're not following after the laws that I put in place in the Old Testament. No. You're following your father, the devil. How does he go on and continue this? And the lust of your father ye will do. So what is the lust of the father that they are doing? Once again, they come to the Lord and they say, hey, feed us some more. No. There's a responsibility that you have. Why are you coming to me? Because you want a handout? Once again, he was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar and the father of it. Now, I want you to get this. A scammer is one that comes in that he wants to deceive you to believe that there's something good that is waiting for you. I want you to see the good, back over in Genesis chapter 3, that Satan wants Eve to think about. Once again, notice in verse 4, he questions, or he brings it into her mind, that God is the one that's lying, not himself. I want you to see this. In verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Eve was made to be an eternal creature. Adam was made to be an eternal creature. By the way, if you go back and you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, in the day that thou eatest thereof. He didn't say, if you eat thereof. He said, in the day. God knew exactly what they were going to do. He knew exactly that Adam and his wife were going to fall. But notice again that the serpent approaches the woman, and he makes God sound like a liar. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. What's the great deception that we hear in this world? Oh, take this drug. It'll make you feel better. You're going to be so happy if you take it. Right now, our country is just falling over itself to try to legalize marijuana. Why do they do this? Because they say, well, it's not really harmful. It's not going to hurt you. But the sad part is most people don't realize it's a transition drug. It goes from being something that people are not affected by per se, but it leads on to something else. I remember when I was working at a RV place, I noticed that there were several people there that had no teeth, young people. And I told Jimmy, I said, it's so sad they don't have it. He goes, Dad, don't you know what that's all about? I said, well, no. They're taking meth. One of the things that meth does is it affects the mouth. It affects the teeth. And so these people have no teeth because they have been hooked on meth. There's the evidence of it. They wanted to escape the reality. And now, even though they have tried to escape that, they have the evidence by what's in their mouth. Isn't it sad that we have people that they want to escape this world, but instead of following after the Lord and finding the true source of our joy and our happiness, they want to go after the world? So notice again, Satan begins with a lie. You think God's telling you the truth? He doesn't call God a liar, but he brings into question what God has said. How many times have we ever had people say, well, has God said? Is that really there? How many of us have ever heard the term, God helps those that help themselves? It's not in Scripture. It's a principle, but it's not in Scripture. And we could go into many others that are there that we oftentimes hear. But notice what he does say. And this is a truth. There's an underlying truth with what he says here. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. That's a truth. And you shall be as gods, not true, knowing good and evil. Here's the problem. We do not know how to handle evil. Write that down. If you want to put this in your Bible, we do not know how to handle evil. And in fact, the thing that's interesting, and I'll show this to you, turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. Not John itself, but 1 John chapter 2. And here is the underlying truth about everything that we find in our world today. 1 John chapter 2. Let's begin at verse 14. It says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, that's pretty good discourse, isn't it? That's pretty good praise. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all the world, here's the verse that you need to pay attention to. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. I remember that Brother Kenny Nichols, when I was pastoring in Burnside, Kentucky, would oftentimes quote verse 17. And he said, again, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. In 1972, before I got ready to go into the military, I fell in love with a particular vehicle. A 1972 72 Chevrolet Nova. I found one that was gold with black pinstripe on the outside. Black interior with white pinstripe, four on the floor, and it came with four speeding tickets automatically in the glove box. Had a big 350 engine in it, loved that. Man, I thought, yeah. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I know what kind of vehicle I want. Dad said, that's not the vehicle you want. Well, yeah, Dad, all you have to do is co-sign for $1,000. I've got $2,000 of the $3,000 saved back. He goes, no, that's not the vehicle you want. So Dad found me a vehicle, a 1972 Pinto station wagon. With an X on the side that says, strike here for bigger explosion. And I said, but Dad, girls aren't going to see this as a chick magnet. You know, this is not going to be something that girls want to be in. He goes, if a girl needs a car to your specifications, you don't need the girl. So I tucked my tail and went away, and I drove for the next few years a Pinto station wagon. I loved it. I really did. I enjoyed that car. Come to find out that the engine that was in that was actually a racing engine that the Germans had designed. Needless to say, I don't think I had but one speeding ticket with that car. But the reality is, I look back on that station wagon now, that Pinto, and I go, why was that such a bad car? What was it about the Nova that I wanted so much? I don't want it now. I look outside and I see all these wonderful vehicles, and I wonder, how long before they lose their luster? But think about this. In verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Do you realize that the one thing that appeals to us, first of all, is the things that our flesh desires? It could be anything from desiring a person, man or woman in our life. It could be the desire that someone has of some substance that is in our life, being richer. By the way, I never understood riches. Oh, yeah, I'd love to be a millionaire. But if that millions keeps me from following after God, do I really need that kind of money? Do I need that in my life? Do I need something that I know is going to pass away? By the way, when you hear people say, oh, send more money because God needs it, God doesn't need your money. God does not need your money. God needs your faithfulness. And your faithfulness will be, in fact, to give to the church such that the church can do the work that it's been called to do. That's what God requires of us. And by the way, when people say, well, this is what God needs, this is what God wants, what does God need when something that is so tangible is going to be destroyed in the long run? Now just think about it. But what about that's the desires of the flesh. What about the desires of the eyes? Boy, that looks good to me. That's what I want. Is that really what you need? But what about the pride of life? The pride of life can even go as far as something that we are so boastful of. It could be position. It could be place. It could be honor that we receive. My mom had as a certificate upstairs, she was a Kentucky colonel. I've got that certificate. And I wanted to be a Kentucky colonel. I'd be walking around with a white suit and a black tie and things like that, so I'd look like Harlan Sanders, you know, full out. But what is the purpose of such a reward? To elevate somebody. Is that really what we need? And if they keep me from following after God the way that I should follow after him, I don't need any of it. And in fact, let me take you over to, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to see this. In Philippians chapter 4, one of the things that we see that is so important is to know humility in such a way that we accept humility. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And we all know this particular verse, but look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, I want you to get this. The Apostle Paul was probably, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was probably rich. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Joseph of Arimathea was a Pharisee. And do you realize that those two men were men of wealth? Pharisees in themselves were rich. If you were part of the Sanhedrin, which Paul, by all indications, was part of the Sanhedrin, he was probably wealthy. And yet, Paul was willing to give up every bit of that, as did Nicodemus, as did Joseph of Arimathea, to put all on the line for Christ. And so what did the Apostle Paul say? I know how to suffer want. Look at verse 11 again. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. How did he know that? He experienced it. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. We love that particular verse, do we not? But have we ever thought about sometimes that means that in the most dire of straits, I know how to rely upon the Lord our God. Maybe I'm at the death threshold. I know that the Lord will be with me. I know that I may face any kind of consequence, but I know that the Lord will be with me. And by the way, this leads me into one little thought. Maybe we ought to be more sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit so we listen to what he has to say. Do you realize the Holy Spirit says, don't go in there. Let's go back to Genesis, and I want to show you something. In Genesis chapter 3, you have two individuals that never knew sin. And because they never knew sin, they should have had at least this intelligence to say, I want to ask God about it. But the biggest danger that we have is we don't want God's assistance. We want it on our own. I think I can handle this without myself, just by myself. Do you realize that that was the downfall of Joshua? He had the Gibeonites, and they come in this garb where they look like that they had come from a far country. Oh, we're not local people. We've come from a far away. Look at these wine bottles. Look at our clothes. We left on our journey, and now we're in rags. And so instead of seeking God to find out what the answer was, they went on their own path. You know what's funny here? Here we have Adam and Eve, and instead of seeking God for an answer, and he was available to them, they thought they could handle it on their own. I got news for you. We can't handle anything on our own. We just can't do it. Don't blame God for decisions that you make on your own without his input. I could go back in and look at Solomon. Did Solomon ask the Lord God? Is it all right for me to have this many wives, this many concubines? And is it all right for me to follow after false gods? No, that was never brought up. What about David? Was it all right for David to assume that it was okay for him to kill off a man so he could have this woman to cover up his sin? No, that was never all right. But once again, we conjure these things in our mind that we think, I can do this without God's input. In Genesis chapter 3, notice again, for God doth know, verse 5, for God doth know that in the day thereof that your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good, man alive, she ate of the fruit. I don't know what the fruit was. There's been speculation. Of course, we hear everybody talk it was an apple. The reality is that after this point, we always see the blood, which was always a depiction of grape. And the reality is that the vine is referred to as a tree. I don't know. Is that the one it was? Whatever it was a fruit that God allowed. And they ate of the fruit, and when they ate of the fruit, her eyes were opened. Oh, this is good stuff. This is the best. Have you ever talked to someone who's been on a drug high or whatever? Oh, this is good! Man, I love what you're taking me right now. It's a scam! It's not... And that's the one thing about a scam is it will hit you for a moment. You think you've got the tiger by the tail until the tiger has you. One of the new scams that's out there, and by the way, I would recommend that every man be careful of this. You might get an invite on Facebook. You might get an invite on Twitter. You might get an invite on one of the social media platforms or even on email. And the first thing they do is that a pretty little lady will turn around and she'll say, "Hi! I just came across your profile and how about sending me your picture?" It is a blackmail scheme, because what they'll do is they'll take your image and they will put it on, transpose it onto somebody else with suggestive photographs. She'll find out where you work, and then they'll start sending those pictures to your workplace. Now you're blackmailed. You better send me more money or I'm going to send these pictures out. You better send me more money, you better do this. You better send me money, you better do that. There's an entrapment that occurs. For a while it sounds great. Man, I got somebody that loves me and somebody that cares about me and somebody who wants to be involved with me. Only to find that it's a fake. Then we can take a look at this. The woman took of the fruit, and for the moment it sounded great, and she rushed over and she said, Adam, why don't you eat of this fruit as well? You know, everything the serpent told me is true. It's good. It opened up my eyes, my understanding. This is wonderful. And if you look, that was just my input. I don't know what Eve said to Adam, but Adam ate of the fruit willingly. He was not deceived. She offered it to him and he ate it. And then we find the real aspect of what goes on. In verse 7 it says, and the eyes of them were opened. You know, it's too late once you've been scammed into believing a lie. It's too late to go back. It's too late to say, I didn't see it coming. You know, yes, I would love for good things to happen to God's people. I really do want to see that happen. But maybe God will get greater glory out of the simplicity of your life than having the magnitude of your life. I know we all are amazed at sports figures because they give God glory. But how many more people are blessed because they understand the simplicity of God's values? And it says, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked. In other words, they were exposed. And now I'm trapped. I can't go back. So now that I'm in this condition, well, I don't really want to ask God to forgive me, so I'm going to blame God. And when they come before God, or when God confronts them, and yes, God will bring you to a place that you have to confront yourself, confront your sins, the first thing that comes out is, well, God, it's your fault. Now watch this, and this even goes with sovereign grace. Do we not believe that God knows all things? Could God have prevented it? But God chose not to prevent it. In the book of Deuteronomy, verse chapter 32, it says, choose life that you may live. I said before you, evil and blessing and cursing, good and evil. Mount Ebal was going to be the evil. Mount Gerizim was going to be the good. Listen to the broadcast. They were saying the same exact thing. The Levites that were on the mountains and all the people that were shouting the same things. But if we did away with, if we followed after wickedness, then there was a curse. If we followed after good, there was a blessing. Your blessings in your life, do that which is right in the sight of God. Want to have evil in your life? Then walk away from God. That's the truth of the matter right there. And the reality is that now Adam does what every one of us want to do. We want to blame God. Well, if you had not allowed this in my life, then it would have occurred. Why didn't God just do it? Why didn't God have to put the tree in the garden to begin with? It was God's garden. God is not required to do what we want for him to do. Do you understand that? God put that tree. He put two trees in the garden. One was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One was the tree of life. God never said you can't eat of the tree of life. Only you can't eat of this tree. What did we want to do? We want to go after to see if we can find out something more. It's your fault, God, because you gave me this woman. She gave me the fruit and I ate it.
What about you, woman?
It's the serpent's fault. He beguiled me, and I followed after him. The reality is, we know that it was the divine plan of God. But the sad part is, we are easily deceived when we try to do things without God's presence. That's what I'm getting after. More than anything, we should have the desire to follow after the things of God so we are not being deceived. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know this, is that the more that I read God's Word, the more that I find there are things that I just don't know. But I want you to get this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's go down, or 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go down to verse 19. If I said Timothy, I do apologize. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Write that down. These are things that are true because God gave it. But I'm mad at God. Why are you mad at God? God allowed this to happen in my life. God allowed that to happen in my life. You know, here's the thing. You could be better. But why? Why be angry? You really want to focus on it? It all had to deal with sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Mark it all down. It's going to be one of those three areas. So don't blame God. God's prophecy, God's word, God's promises are never changing. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I read this, and I'm going, I need to listen more. I need to obey more so that I won't be deceived by the things that I have in this world. Number one, seek the Lord in all matters. Man, that's hard for me to do. Anyone else want to admit that? It's hard for me to seek the Lord in all matters. I remember this, is that I wanted to get rid of that Pinto station wagon. Really wanted to get rid of it. You would have understood, Kennedy. You wanted to get rid of that Pinto station wagon. And I wanted a Chevrolet Blazer. I lived in Florida. Four-wheel drive Blazer. That Pinto station wagon got 24 miles per gallon. That Blazer got 9. Didn't think about that. The insurance on that little Pinto was about $24 a month. That's how far ago it was. The Blazer was 100. Okay, it's just a little bit more money. So, triple the amount of gas cost. Oh, by the way, we just suddenly had a big gas price that increased. We went from 40-some cents a gallon all the way up to a dollar. I remember those days. And I'm looking at all these things, and I'm going, but God, why did you allow it? Didn't I pray God? Paid for. The Blazer wasn't. And now I had a payment on the Blazer. I was working three jobs to make it happen, and I wrecked the Blazer. I look back on that, and I go, what a fool I was. Why should I blame God? If I really want it, I should seek the Lord honestly. What do you want me to have, Lord? I didn't need a four-wheel drive down in Florida. And I definitely wasn't going to use it up here because I was stationed in Florida. Number two, if it seems too good to be true, do I need to say more? It probably is. And that's one of the things that is the great deception that we find in this world. If it seems too good to be true, it will always be that. But here's something that I want you to also get. Don't be afraid to ask others to pray with you about it. We know that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it says this, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst. How many times have I ever just turned around and said, would you pray with me about this? I'm not alone. Here's the thing that's beautiful. I'm not alone in these decisions. If I see something that's coming after me, I can honestly go to men that are in this church and say, would you pray for me about this? I want to do what's right in the eyes of God. Don't be afraid of that. And lastly, remember this. Satan wants to destroy you, especially you, because you're a Christian. You walk after the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's go down to verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, and look what it says in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Boy, isn't that great stuff? We oftentimes sing that song, does Jesus care? Our Lord cares for us. He knows our consequences. He knows our challenges. He knows all the things that goes with us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I want you all to know something. Man, this is so humbling. I need this church. I want you to know that. I need this church. I need to be a member of this church, not only in good standing, but do you realize it is you that keeps the pastor in line? It's you that keeps the pastor from being bored to death. An idle mind is definitely the devil's workshop. And I got news for you. Greg and Dennis keep me so busy, I don't have time for idleness. Just a joke. But the reality is that every one of you all don't know that as a pastor, I need you. And I like being part of your life. I like being part of what you have for me. Because knowing this, when we are together, together we resist Satan. Look what it says again in verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Anyone ever walked in the same path I've walked before? Or similar? Then you know how to help me. And this is where the Bible teaches us that we have confidence one for another in faith. How beautiful it is when a pastor or a deacon or other brethren in the church can go to someone and say, I have something that I ask you to pray with me about. Man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. When we have such a confidence and a closeness with God that we're not afraid to speak one another openly. How many of us are afraid to speak openly? Because instead of prayer, we add to the gossip chain. That's not godliness. That's not godliness. But the God of all grace, whom hath called us unto his eternal glory. Man, I'll be glad when I finally get to heaven. Then I won't have to put up with this sinful body that I deal with. I won't have to deal with all the challenges of this life. I'll get to walk in faithfulness before him. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strength, settle you. Isn't that good? That's what we should desire in all parts of our body and our life. Have you been scammed? Have you been led to believe a lie? Have you been convinced of something that you know is a falsehood? Then take it to the Lord. He knows the truth, and he knows to help you out of every circumstance for the good that only he can bring. Father, again, thank you that you've allowed us to examine the Word. And I pray, Father, that the things that we have looked at this morning are from you and that we can rejoice over these things together. Now, Lord, I pray that you will bless us, that you will guide us in the conclusion of this service, and help us, dear Father, to be faithful in all things. In Christ we pray, and amen. Brother Randy, would you be so kind?